great job. Didn't they do a good job on that? Appreciate the orchestra and doing that. We're going to let our kids slip out to the children's church service. So if you have a child between the ages of 3 and 10 years of age, let them slip on out. They're going to church. Take your Bibles and look in Psalm 113. That's our text for today, Psalm 113. And after we read our text scripture, we're going to have Allison come up, and she's going to sing our special just before the message. But I do want to invite you to look in Psalm 113. And if you're able to stand one more time, let's stand and read just these few verses together. Well, I'll read them and you can just listen. But Psalm 113, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist writes, "Praise ye the Lord." In other words, he says, "Praise the Lord." That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. "Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself," that is, he humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. "He riseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill," that's an ash heap, "that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children." And all God's people said on that last part, "Praise ye the Lord," or "Praise the Lord." That's the title of our message today. We've been looking at what are we thankful for. Well, I'm thankful we can gather today to praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about that subject this morning, praise the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. And after we pray, Miss Allison, you be ready to sing for us, if you would. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy to us this morning. Oh, Lord, we're a blessed people to live in America, a free country that we can still stand and preach the Word of God this morning. Lord, thank you for good music that we've shared in this morning. We've been able to not only participate, sing your praises, but God, to listen. Lord, our hearts have already been touched. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for those that are here this morning under the sound of my voice. Lord, that we'd be open and attentive to the message that God has given for all of us here today. And I pray, Father, on the invitation time, dear Lord, when, Lord, I know you're going to move about us. May we, Father, be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit to move in our heart and respond in the manner you'd have us to respond. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. That's good. Don't worry about it. You can just stick it up there. Thank you, Allison. Did a great job. Sometimes these mics don't want to cooperate when they're running off battery. And so we detected a battery was dying on us, but she did real good to hang in there. Great message and song. Take your Bibles again in Psalm 113, if you'll look there, please. Praise the Lord. I love to be able to praise the Lord because, it's something that as Christians, God has given us something to praise Him about. And as we read in this psalm, actually Psalm 113, to Psalm 118 comprise really the first of what are known as Hallelujah Psalms. This word Hallelujah simply means to praise in the Hebrew. And this group of Psalms were sung as part of Jewish worship, which really often in connection with the Passover around Easter. This morning, I want us to consider the first of these praise Psalms, and the first is Psalm 113, chapter 113, and actually the first three verses of this psalm stands as a call and as a challenge for the children of God to be involved in His praise. You see, the rest of the psalms tells us why or
are really the cause of our praise that we offer to the Lord. We find that, first of all, we find that there's the command in verse 1 to praise the Lord. God says, praise ye the Lord. That's not if we feel like it. God said, praise the Lord. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. That refers to the redeemed, right? We're the servants of God. So that's us. And he says, praise the name of the Lord. That phrase, the name, in the latter part of verse 1, it represents all of God's attributes. So when you think of praising the Lord, you think of praising who God is and what he means to all of us, his attributes. And then we find the practice of praise to the Lord. Psalm 113, verses 2 and 3 says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and for how long? Forevermore, he says. From the rising of the sun unto the going down, that is the setting of the sun, of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So when you wake up, praise the Lord. As you go through the day, praise the Lord. Before you go to bed at night, be praising the Lord. You see, the psalmist tells us that God is to be praised from this time forth and forevermore. Verse 2, it tells us here that praise to God should be rendered always. That's the whole idea. Praise to God is to be rendered always. I like what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, that we're to always give thanks for all things to God. And this is the time of month or year where often you see that, at least the emphasis of that. We're getting away from a lot of that, going right into Christmas after, these other holidays that they celebrate. So, Thanksgiving is an important opportunity as a reminder to praise God. The psalmist tells us to do that. He says, and by the way, I believe that this is a hint of what the redeemed is going to be doing throughout eternity. You wonder sometimes, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Revelation tells us in Revelation chapter 4, that as we're told there, that the 24 elders who represents the redeemed, that's us, they cry out forever and ever praising the Lord. You see, verse 3 of Psalm 113 tells us that every waking moment is to be spent in praising the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm not always in the mood to doing that. Well, that doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what mood we're in. It doesn't matter whether we're having a good day or bad. It doesn't matter if life is upside down for you. Listen, that does not give us an excuse to say, well, I can't praise God right now. We're without excuse. You see, in other words, praise is not supposed to be something that we do when we feel like it. Because there's times I wouldn't even come to church if I based it on my feelings. Right? Let's be honest. If we, every time we felt this way or that way, then you know what? We wouldn't serve God. We wouldn't praise God. We wouldn't come to church. We wouldn't read our Bible if we base things on feelings. Praise is supposed to be something that we are engaged in, the Scripture says, at all times. Don't let anyone tell you, though, that you have to do it their way. You see, when we praise God from our hearts, it's pleasing to Him. You know, really, some people praise the Lord differently. Some are quiet in their praise to God. In other words, they're not one to say, amen, hallelujah, You know, that's okay if you don't feel like that, but if you feel like shouting amen every now and then, I used to wouldn't do none of that. And I sure don't do it for show, and we shouldn't do it for that reason. But yet, if God just urges you just to say, praise the Lord, do it. But again, it's not for show. It's not for entertainment, as we've seen some of that stuff is. But it's truly, an opportunity that we should look for every waking moment of the day, to look for an opportunity to praise the Lord. In the remaining verses of this psalm, we are given really some reasons of why we're involved in this matter of prayer. You see, it is these reasons that I really want us to focus on this morning that should cause us, each one of us, by the way, to be thankful that we can praise God. Give you a few things to think about. You know, we ought to be praising God because of His glory, right? Praise God because of His glory. You say, what do I have to be thankful for, preacher? What do I have to praise God for? Because of His glory. You see, Psalm 113, verse 4. Go back there with me if you would. And we'll look down to verse about 6. He says, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself? That is, He literally humbled Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and on the earth. Now, listen, God, would you agree with this? God is enthroned on high. He is God. But He's not too big of a God that He can't listen to our needs, or He's not so far out there that He don't know what's going on. God knows everything that's going on in your life and mine. He's focused on us today. He's right here among us. Where two or more are gathered in His name, the Bible says He's right in the midst. He's aware of what's going on in our life, even to the point the Bible says He humbled Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and on the earth. Not only does He know what's going on above us that we're not aware of, but God knows everything that goes on around us, in your life and others. Verse 4 really tells us some things here that I want to look at. First of all, that God is to be exalted. Look there if you would. He says, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. He is to be exalted. You see, God is greater than all the glories of the nations. That's what He's saying here, right? We'll agree with that. You see, He is greater than all the glories of heaven. And when the nations are gone and this earth is going to be passed away, then God's praises will be heard in heaven throughout eternity. I like that. He is to be exalted above all, God is. Not only is He to be exalted above all, but we know that He not only is the exalted God, but yet He is exceptional. Look in verse 5. He is exceptional. It says that who is like unto the Lord our God. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Would you agree God is exceptional God? Who dwells on high, the verse says. He's exceptional. Without exception, God is the best, is what the psalmist says. And as believers, we're reminded here to praise the only one worthy of praise for His transcendent sovereignty. You see, in other words, God's sovereignty is transcendent beyond our complete comprehension. That God is able to walk in ways that human beings do not always understand, because He is a holy God. God's not like any of us today. He is a holy God that is deserving of our praise. He is the exalted one. He is one that's exceptional. And then we notice that there's none like Him. Would you agree with that? There's none like Him. Where are the dead and forgotten gods of Egypt and Greece and Rome? Well, they're in their tombs. They're dead. They're all gone away to the ash heap of thought, of forgetfulness. One day, all these other false deities that people worship today, like Muhammad, that we hear so much about in our day and time, and others that we find that people worship, they're going to fade away in memory. Because He is the one that's to be exalted. He is the exceptional one. You see, if all the greatest examples of human accomplishments were paraded across the stage of time, none of them could compare to our great God. No, there's none like the Lord. He is beyond comprehension. He's exalted. He's exceptional. Then I like to point out the fact that He is extraordinary. That's what Psalmist is saying in verse 6. He is an extraordinary God when we think of it in that manner. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Why is he extraordinary? You see, it's amazing that a God like ours, like our God, it would even consider to look into the things that take place on the earth. That God would look at the things that, I mean, God's busy, right? God's got a lot of people to take care of, right? Well, listen, thank God he's not too busy that he can't take care of a little sparrow. God pointed that out. And in paraphrase, if I'll take care of the little birds and making sure that their feathers fly and they get fed well, don't you think that God takes care of us? God takes care of us to the point to where he's numbered the hairs on our head. Now, for some, that's not too hard, right? Some of you fellas like me. Oh, but listen, surely God's glory is a constant thing to be praised. So what should we do? Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise God for his glory. He is exalted. He is exceptional. He is extraordinary. And then we go to the second point of why should we be involved in the matter of praise, preacher? Why should we be involved? Not only for the fact of his glory, but because of his grace. We ought to be thankful for God's grace, right? That ought to cause us to praise God. Psalm 113, verse 7 says, he riseth up the poor out or from the dust. And he lifteth, that is, he literally lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that is, the ash heap. So we praise God for the fact that his grace is reaching down. That's what we see in that verse, that God's grace reached down to every single one of us. God demonstrated his grace to each and every one of us. God is responsible for both the rich and the poor, as we see in this verse. In other words, he doesn't care for one group over another group just because they may be more successful or may be more educated or whatever, or maybe of this race or that race. Listen, God is responsible for both, the rich and the poor. God's compassion reaches out to the poor and the needy because that's what his grace does. It reaches down, as we see in that passage. And why does it reach down? Because, listen, he humbled himself. He reached down to us. It is implied in this verse that God reaches down to us. And as he came down to save those of us who were poor in spirit, aren't you glad for that? That God left the portals of heaven, which is the best. I haven't had a taste of entering into the heaven yet. Some of my family are there and friends are there. They know what's going on there and they're enjoying being in the presence of Almighty God. But yet God left heaven for a time. Brought his son down and died in your place and mine. He reached down to us. If it is amazing that he should look upon the earth, how much more amazing that he would reach into the mess of this world to lift us out of it. Thank God there's hope because he reached down by his grace. But even more amazing is the fact that he would come down to this world to rescue us from our sins. I like what Philippians chapter 2 in verses 5 through 8 has to say. It says, let this mind be in you. Listen to this. Let this mind be in you, Paul writes, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And all God's people said to that, amen for that. He left the very best. He took upon him flesh. He experienced your pain and your suffering, my pain and my suffering, over 2,000 years ago, as we see here, when he went to the old rugged cross. Why? There was just one reason. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He loves his creation. That's us. God didn't die for the ant. God didn't die for the sparrow. Although he knows everything that goes on with those creatures that he created. But you know what? He died for us. Why? Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Because he loves us. Thank God for his grace. His grace reached down to us. And also we find something else that we ought to be thankful for, and that is his grace, the grace of God that raises up. You see, the grace of his rising up. Look back in verse 7. "He riseth up the poor out or from out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill," that is the ash heap. He lifts up the needy. Why? Because they cannot lift themselves out of their natural condition. That's us. Were it not for God reaching down to us by his grace and mercy and raising us up, listen, we'd have no hope here today. I love what Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, and you know this, "As it is written," there's what? "There's none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, and this includes everybody, I believe, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So he reached down to us in his grace, and he raises us up, because you see, we're the needy here. We're the ones that needed God. God doesn't need us. Listen, sometimes I get a little heady. I get a little high-minded. You do as well. And I think, well, God needs me. You ever get that way to where, you know, God needs... You know, listen, I know we sometimes don't admit it, but sometimes in our actions, it's not that we verbalize it, but sometimes in our actions, it's like, "God, you need me. You know, you need me for this, or you need me for that," when really God doesn't need any of us. Now, that's not to say we're not important in the eyes of God, because we are. He loves us to the point to where, again, as I've illustrated and showed you from Scripture, he died for us. But yet, listen, I'm thankful that God has chosen to use those of us that are willing to let him use us, even if it's in the small things of life. You know, Miss Faye Longcrier, we've been praying for her. Keep her in prayer. And I talked with her about a week ago, and she hadn't been feeling well. And I told Miss Faye Longcrier, she was in the hospital, I said, "Miss Faye, I know you want to be here with us in church." She said, "I sure do." I said, "Would you do one thing for me?" She said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "In about," this was on a Wednesday, I said, "About 6:30, Miss Faye, I'm going to get up to be ready to preach." I said, "Would you remember to pray for me?" You could just tell in her voice she was excited. Because you know what? She felt, "I can do this." You know what? We all can do the little things. And by the fact, what she did, and I mean that. Listen, you may not be able to get to church. You may not feel like doing some things sometimes. But listen, God can use us sometimes in those small ways that can be very powerful. And we just need to let God use us in that way. So, because there's some that think, well, listen, God can't use me. Or there's some that think, well, God needs me. Listen, thank God for his grace that he reached down to us, he raised us up. That's why he came to die. He paid our price. And you know what? God will lift us all who will believe in him out of the dust of the earth and will set them in high places. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received," that is inherited by the tradition from your fathers, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Aren't you glad for that? One day there's going to be a great rising up when God sounds that trumpet and God's going to call his children home. And you know what? If you know the Lord is your Savior, you'll be in that group that'll go up in the air. And you see, only God can raise us up. And the same process takes place for those who die, maybe before the trumpet sound. Thank God, if you're ready to meet the Lord, there'll be that rising up. To be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. How does that take place? Because God raises us up. Thank God for His grace. His grace reached down to us, and His grace raises us up. You see, the grace of raising up, we ought to be thankful for. Leads me to the next thing that I want to speak on this morning in closing, and why should we be involved in the matter of praise, preacher? Why should we praise the Lord? Well, not only because of His grace, not only because of His glory, but we praise God because of His greatness. Praise God for a great and mighty God that we serve. Praise Him. Look in verse 8. The Bible says that He may set Him with princes, even with the princes of His people. You know, I'm reminded as I read this passage today, because of God's greatness, He counsels our past. He, God, takes the worst of humanity and He uses them greatly, doesn't He? We've seen God do that. He took Gideon, matter of fact. You can go back and read the life of Gideon. He took Gideon from the threshing floor. He took the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer, a terrorist in his day, and God saved him on the road to Damascus. He took David from leading the sheep. He took the apostles from the fish. And by the way, He took us from being dead in our sins. You see, God takes us like He finds us. Now, some of you maybe were found in a very bad condition in your life. Aren't you thankful that God took you out of that? Some of you, maybe your life wasn't so bad. Maybe things were going okay, but God still, He reached down and God pointed out His grace and mercy. And I was sharing my testimony with someone this week of how God, when I got saved, and I won't go into detail on that because you've heard my testimony many times. But you, listen, every time I share my testimony, boy, I get chilled bumps all over me. I really do. When I reflect back upon the time that God saved me as a little boy at 11 years old. And boy, the older I get, the more I learn to appreciate the gift of salvation. That it was a great price that He paid for me today. And I need to praise Him for that, don't you? You need to praise Him for that. He takes us like He finds us. And then He transforms us into a trophy of His grace. I love what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship." That word workmanship means that we're God's creation. We are. And you know what God does? The Bible says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God takes this mold of clay that we are, and God, if we'll let Him, He'll mold us and make us into being what He desires us to be in this world, in this life, and to be that testimony, that ambassador for the kingdom of God, hopefully pointing people to Jesus. We're God's creation. We don't belong to ourselves. Our bodies don't belong to us. Listen, our gifts that He gifts us with, our abilities, listen, they all belong to God because we're His creation. That's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians. We're God's workmanship. And I like to say He's still working on me. Listen, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And I won't go in the rest of that. You know what the song says. Is He still working on you today? We ought to praise Him for that because of His greatness. He doesn't lift us, by the way, God does not lift us halfway and then leave us to finish the job. When God lifts us, if we'll let Him, He'll continue to work on us till He calls us out of this place. God changes us all the way if we'll let Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, if any man, generically any man or woman, be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature, new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Thank God He counsels our past. You say, "Preacher, I have some things in my past that, listen, it's hard to get overcome." Well, God's already counseled that if it's under the blood and you've sought forgiveness. Then He conquers our problems. Verse 9, if you would. "He maketh the barren woman to keep house." Now, ladies, I don't want you to think that God's telling you you're the only one supposed to keep the house. These men want to say amen to that, all right? That's not what God is telling us, guys. "He maketh the barren woman to keep house." What does that mean, to abide in the house? Now, my mom, when it come to the house, my mom was in charge of the house. I've already told you, my mom loved to move furniture. My dad, it didn't matter. Guys, listen, most guys don't care. Just give me a place to sit down. But my mom, listen, when it came time to moving furniture, I've already told you. Listen, it was she had the authority over the home when it came to things like that. We didn't argue with it. You know, and other things. Listen, he maketh the barren woman to keep house, to abide in the house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the what? Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. In other words, God, as we see here, and really there's more to this verse than just what I brought out about it. But really the idea is that God conquers our problems, and He uses the barren woman to illustrate that. Here is the image of a childless woman that's used to illustrate despair and distress. She's barren. So obviously she's under distress or despair. So what does this mean to us this morning? That God will take the barrenness of our lives if we let Him. And He can cause us to bring forth fruit for His honor and for His glory. You see in John 15 verse 5, He says, I am the vine and ye are the what? The branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You see, listen, a life that's lived, a life without God is empty and barren, isn't it? You live your life just to get by and hoping I'm going to make it to heaven, that's empty, that's barren, isn't it? God has given us a way out through His Son, Jesus Christ. And a life without God is empty and barren. But a life that's touched by the Lord always bears fruit. It's fruitful and glorious. You see, the fact that He would lift us up out of this wretched world and then use us for His glory, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So what are you thankful for? Thank God for His glory. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His greatness. The psalmist opens up and he closes with the same phrase. What does he say? Praise the Lord. That's what he says, doesn't he? And we see all that in the middle part there. He says, praise the Lord when you get up in the morning. Praise the Lord when you go to bed. Praise Him when you don't feel like it. Praise Him in the good and praise Him in the bad. Listen, we're without excuse when it comes to say, well, listen, don't base it on feelings. But God says at all times, praise the Lord. Isn't God worthy of our praise today? As we look at this, we've looked at this passage. The question I want to ask is this in closing. Is God getting the praise that He deserves from your life? As we look back over this month and go into this month of Thanksgiving, can we truly say, yes, preacher, I'm taking time to give God the thanks. Not just whenever things are going well. That's easy to do. I'm not talking about with lip service. I'm not talking about when it's easy to do on Sunday morning when we're gathering together in a setting like this, when we're encouraged, we're motivated by the singing to praise God. But listen, but does God get our praise every day? Does God get our praise, yes, when we're on the mountaintop or when we're in the valley? Listen, He's deserving of our praise. And so perhaps this morning God has revealed maybe some emptiness in your life. Maybe God has revealed the fact that, you know what, I found myself griping more than I do praise. And that's easy to do, isn't it? From time to time, I have to get a hold of myself. You know, if I'm around people that gripe, sooner or later I'm going to gripe. You ever find that to be the case? If I'm having a bad day, it's easy to come home in the evening and just gripe. And we're all guilty of that from time to time. But I guarantee you, our days will go better. And it will if we learn, like the psalmist has reminded us here, that if we'll learn to praise God at all times, in all situations, then truly there'll be more praise offered to God than grumblings and gripings. And obviously we'll see the blessings of God in a greater way. But maybe God has revealed some emptiness there in your life. You know, hopefully this morning you've seen where God has showed us that we can fill that void, that of lack of praise with that which maybe we've set aside, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've set God aside in your life and maybe hadn't had that special time of prayer and devotion each and every day, you know what? It'll be so easy for us to find reasons to gripe and complain. But may God help us to find our rightful place. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't know the Lord. I haven't learned how to praise this God that you're speaking of in the manner that you're speaking of. You're in a good place today, as many have found the Lord in a church house, or many can relate to what you're feeling because they've been there. And I want to challenge you, if you're not saved here today, that you've heard the gospel today in this message. If you want to trust Christ as your Savior, we'll show you from God's Word how you can invite Him in your life. Would you stand with me with heads bowed? And Christians, please pray. I say that, I know, every Sunday, but I encourage you during the invitation to be praying not only for the invitation, but God to move among us. And maybe this morning you have found that emptiness in your life where something here recently has robbed you of your joy. Something here recently has caused you to stop praising God. And you want to get that your life back in perspective when it comes to praise, like the psalmist was speaking of. Whatever your need is, it may be to come to this altar to pray for someone, or maybe church membership, or, like I said, salvation. If that's your need this morning, you come if the Holy Spirit is leading you. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, as we've said already. Oh, where would we be without it? We would be in the muck and mire of this life with lack of joy and hope. But thank you, Lord, that we can find the hope that we need in you. If there's that one that's searching for that joy, that hope that only can be found in you, and they haven't found you as their Savior at this moment in time, that they would realize the need to maybe just make that one step and you do the rest. Let us show them from God's Word how they can trust you to save you. Lord, I know we have an invitation every week. And Lord, I know, Father, that you meet with us wherever we pray. Lord, if you move in the hearts and lives of different ones to come to this altar this morning, for whatever it is, if it's to pray for a loved one or friend, dear God, we know you hear our prayers and you answer in the way that you see fit. We pray once again you'll do that in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.